The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Bo. In the last few weeks, the Parshas have dealt on the Shibud Mitzrayim, the Yerida Le Mitzrayim, and the Shibud Mitzrayim. Going down to Egypt and the enslavement in Egypt. This week's Parsha starts to deal with the Yitzias Mitzrayim, going out of Egypt. Now, if we are me'ayin, if we look closely into these sedras, we will find that the going down to Egypt and the enslavement and so forth didn't happen overnight. Rather, it was a long, drawn-out process of step by step. And also the Gula, the Shikra and the Gula, the redemption from Egypt. Also. And when we look into these psukim and these facts, we see the Yad Hashem, the Ashgoches Hashem, the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of this. Let's examine this evening. The Haskolas HaDvorim, where all began, was in Parshas Lech Lecha. That's in Sefer Bereishis. In the Bris Bein HaBesorim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Abraham. And he told Abraham to take the various animals and to cut them in half. In Bereishis Tes Vov, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayehi HaShemesh Lavei V'Sadeh Monof La'al Avram. And the sun set, and a great slumber, a great sleep fell on Abraham. V'hineh Eima HaShecha G'dole Nefeles Olov. And he was caught with fright and with darkness. Vayemel Avram, and Hashem said to Avram, Yodea Teda, you shall surely know, Ki Ger Yezaracho Be'eretz Leilohem, that your Zera, your seed, will be strangers, aliens, in a land which is not theirs. Va'avodum Bi'inu Osam. And there they will be enslaved and they will be afflicted. Arba Mea Shono. For 400 years. Vegames Hagoya Sheyavodu Donanechi. And the nation that shall do this, I shall judge. Achrechein Yetzu Berchush Gadol. And afterwards they will go out with great wealth. You will not see this in your lifetime, as far as the going, the enslavement in this land. Now, here we have what was known as the Gzeres Ben Absorim, the Bris Ben Absorim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant with Abraham, but within this covenant, he told Abraham, and this was the decree, the Gzera, that your children will go down to a land which is not theirs for 400 years. So this is the Haskolas HaDvorim, this is where it began. Now, in this decree is actually three gzeiros, three decrees. Firstly, that your children will be strangers, ger yezaracho. Secondly, be'eretz leilohem, excuse me, ba'avodum, they will be strangers in a land which is not theirs, ba'avodum, they will be enslaved. Thirdly, be'inu osam, they will be afflicted. So there were three decrees. Gerus, strangers in a land which is not theirs. Abdus, slavery, shibud, the inu osam, inui, and affliction. And the number given there is 400 years. The Haskolas Akzera, the beginning of the decree to come into reality, Rashi tells us there, was with the birth of Yitzchok. Rashi says, Geria Zaracho Mishanele Yitzchok, from the time Yitzchok was born, Achiyotsu Yisrael Mimitzrayim Tov Shono. From the time Yitzchok was born, Avram's son, and until the time they went out of Egypt was 400 years, and that was the decree of Gerus to be strangers. Because Hashem said, Ger Yezaracho, your seed will be strangers. And Avram's seed was with the birth of Yitzchok. And why were they considered strangers? They didn't go down to Egypt till much later. They were living in Canaan and Eretz Yisrael, because this land, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, was still considered not their land. It was not given to them until much later, until they returned from Egypt, and after the 40 years of the desert, when Yeshua went into the land. So therefore, with the birth of Yitzchok, was fulfilled Ger Yezaracho, that your seed shall become strangers. And Rashi says that's why it always states when Avram or Yitzchok or even Yaakov lived in Eretz Canaan, it does not say Dor. Dor means to live. Rather it says Vayogor. Rashi quotes several psukim. Vayogor Abraham, Vayogor Yitzchok, Shnei Megurai. This refers to living only temporarily living as a ger. Actually, in modern Hebrew today, the word to where you live is gor. See? But that's not 100% correct. Gor ba'aretz comes from the word ger, stranger. And that refers to someone who's living not in a permanent fashion. Diro, dor, is the word which refers to someone who's living in a permanent fashion. Now, a further stage we see when Yosef, in the lifetime of Yosef, there was Avram, there was Yitzchok, Yaakov, Yosef. Yosef went down to Egypt. And the Chazal tell us, this wasn't just an incident. It wasn't just a coincidence that he was sold to Egypt. But this was part of the plan. The Chazal refer to this as Eitzah Mukher, part of the deep plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand guiding history. Yosef went down to Egypt. This was a further stage in the fulfillment of the decree that you will go into Egypt. Except first Yosef went. After Yosef went, we see later the brothers came down. They came down to buy grain. Then we see a little later, Shimon was kept by Yosef forcefully from not returning. So another stage. Then we see later, Binyamin came down, beginning Yaakov and then Binyamin. So these were all stages in bringing the house of Yaakov into Egypt. The going down into Egypt reached its full stage when Yaakov went down the whole Beisai. This was in Parshas in Parshas Vayigash. And again, it was caused through Yosef that the brothers came back with the great news that Yosef is alive. So Yaakov said, this is in Parshas Vayigash, Perek Mem Hey, Posuk Chof Ches, Vayeme Yisrael, Rav Od, Yosef bin Ichoy, El Chavereno Beterem Amos. I still have great joy left in my life. My son Yosef is alive. Let me go down and see him before I will die. Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher lo. So Yisrael, that was Yaakov, he started to uproot himself from Eretz Yisrael and take his entire household to Egypt. Posuk Vov, it states by Yichu es Miknehem Besrchusha Masherokshu Beretz Kenan by Yavovu Mitzroimo. He took all of his belongings, all of his assets. He went to Egypt, he and all of his children. Bonav Uvenei Bonav Itai Beneisav Uvenei Bonav Vechol Zarei, all his sons and his son's sons, his daughters and his daughter's sons, Hevi Itai Mitzroima, brought them all to Egypt. And a little later, in Posuk, in the Psukim following, Pasuk of Zayin, it lists off how many went down with Yaakov, and it states, "Kol hanefesh levesh Yaakov abo Mitzrayimah shivim." That the entire household went down. Yaakov, Ishu Beisoy, and a total of 70. Now here we see the fulfillment in totality of the second decree. That not only you'll be strangers in a land, not only not of the second decree. Here we see the fulfillment in its entirety of the first decree, decree that which started with the birth of Yitzchok and regarding Yitzchok and the rest, but here they all came into Egypt. So the Yerida, the going into the Egypt here, was complete. From the birth of Yitzchok, the sages, the Chazal calculate, until the going out of Egypt was 400 years. Why? Because Yitzchok was 60 years old. Yitzchok was born, was 60 years old when Yaakov was born. And when Yaakov came down into Egypt, Paroi asked him how old he is. And he says, Yemei Megurai, Yemei Shnei Megurai, Shleishim U'Me'a Shono. I am now 130 years old. So if Yitzchok was 60, when Yaakov was born, and Yaakov, when he came to Egypt, he was 130, so that would be 190 years from the time of Yitzchok's birth. And the Chazal calculate that we were in Egypt 210 years. So 210 and 190 is 400 years. So the 400 years was fulfilled from the time of the birth of Yitzchok until the going out of Egypt. How do we calculate that we were in Egypt 210 years? And that the Chazal tell us that Yocheved was born Bein HaChemes. Yocheved, who was to be the mother of Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe, was born after they left Eretz Yisrael and right before they entered into Egypt. She made up to 70. When they left, they were 69. Well, actually, they were less, 66, because three were already in Egypt, Joseph and his two sons. When they left, they were under 70. When they came there, they were 66, and when they arrived in Egypt, they were 70. Four were added. Three were added, Joseph and his two sons. But Yocheved was born just before they entered into the Medina, into Egypt. Now, further the Chazal learned that she was 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe. It's a whole story in the Medrash that she and Amram, her husband, separated because Pare had decreed that Kol HaYelud, everyone that's born, you should throw him into the river. Every male child. And it was Miriam was already born, and so was Aaron. And Miriam came and told her mother and father, your decree is worse than Pare, because Pare decreed on the Zekorim, on the male children, your decree even on the females also. And she persuaded them to come back together. So they had a new chasana. The Medrash says that at the chasana, Miriam and Aaron danced. And Chozro Lenaruso, a miracle took place where she became young again. She was 130 years old, and the Torah calls her Bas Levi, a daughter. And she gave birth to Moshe. So she was 130 at the time of the birth of Moshe. And the Torah tells us that Moshe was 80 years old when he stood before Paray to execute the Makos, the plagues, and take Israel out of Egypt. So 130, and they came to Egypt at the birth of Yocheved. So 130 and 80 would be 210. So this is how we calculate that Israel were 210 years in Egypt. A siman ledovar, sign to remember it, because when Yaakov told his sons, go down to Egypt and buy us some grain to eat, he said, redu shoma, shivrulonu, go down and buy us some grain. And redu, resh dalet vov, is the gematria, is the numerical value. Resh is 200, dalet is 4, and vov is 6, is 210. He didn't know what he was prophesizing. He thought, he told them to go down for a short time, they were really starting on a 210 year trek. Now, so that's 210 years. Total was 400 years from the birth of Yitzchok, because Yitzchok was 60 when he gave birth to Yaakov, and Yaakov was 130, he told Pare when he met Pare in Egypt. So 130 and 60 would be 190. Add that to the 210, and you have the 400 years. It's appropriate that we should query, why was Yocheved born just before coming into Egypt? Let her be born in Canaan. Let her be born in Egypt. Why? Just before coming into Egypt. And then we could say very simple. Because Yocheved was the sheirish, the source of the Gula. She was the source of the redemption. The Chazal tell us there were Gimel Goalim, three redeemers. And that was Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. And this held Klal Yisrael all throughout the desert until they came to Eretz Yisrael. It was in Schus Miriam that they had the Be'er, that they had water. And it was in Schus Aaron that they had the Anani Akovit, the protection of the cloud of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And Schus Meisha, the merit of Meisha, that they had the Mon, or to eat. So there were these three Goalim, and the shortest, the source of this was Yocheved. You see the greatness of Yocheved. I mean the greatness, not to produce one Moshiach, three. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Higdim Refu Lemakir. Before there's a Makir, before there's a sickness, heaven forbid, or a disaster, he already implants the Refu, the solution, the remedy. So, just before Yaakov and his full household, which was the completion of that decree that you would be strangers in a land which is not yours, which the ultimate was to be in Egypt, before going into their territory, Yocheved was born. Now, once they came out down to Egypt, though, it didn't stop there. The process didn't stop. That was only part of the process. That was the fulfillment of the first decree, Geriye Bezaracho, that they were strangers. But they actually had a very good time being strangers. They were guests of the king. Yosef was the Mishne Lemelech, he was the viceroy. And Parai became indebted to them because it was their son that brought, that averted a tragedy from Egypt and made Egypt the wealthiest and most powerful land in the world. Not only that, but because they'll tell us that Yaakov came down during the time of the famine. This is what brought his family down. Which year of the famine was it? The second. What happened to the rest? See, later on, in the parshas that we learned a few weeks ago, the people came to Yosef and they said, give us seed to plant. And Yosef said, all right, I'll give you seed, but what do you have to sell for it? They said, we have no money. Okay. All right, sell me your animals. After selling the animals, sell me your land. Sell me yourselves. He bought them all. Chazal asked, what did they need seed for? There was no water, it was a drought. So what good would seed do for them? There was supposed to be another 5 years of famine. So the Chazal learned from here that the famine had ceased and we could start planting now, except they had no money to buy seed. Why did the famine cease? Because when Yaakov came down, he gave a brocha to the Nile River, and the river would come and overflow its banks and water the land. So they had what to be indebted to Yaakov for. Not only that, but he gave a brocha to Parai, that Parai also could go to the river, and the river would come up. So therefore they were royal guests. And he gave them Goshen, Tuv Eretz Mitzrayim, the most fertile place in Egypt. So even though they were Gerim, they were aliens, they weren't leading such bad lives. So we have seen only the fulfillment of the first decree, but not the further decrees. Now it states in Parshas Vayechi, the last Parsha in Bereishis, Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim. Yaakov lived in Egypt 17 years, and his total life was 147 years. That was the 130. He lived 17 years there, so it was 147. And then he died. Rashi says, Lama Parsha Zustuma. In the Sefer Torah, every new Parsha, every new subject, starts with a separation. There's a separation in the writing from the previous one. Here, this one is not. There is no separation whatsoever. So why is this Parsha Stuma?
לפי שכיוון שנפטר יעקב אבינו נשתמו עיניהם ולידם של ישראל מצורס השיבוד שהשכילו לשבדום. Because once Yaakov died, then the tzoris began with the shibut. They started to enslave them. We see that as long as Yaakov lived, there was no tzoris, there were no tzoris, there was no enslavement. This only started once Yaakov died. Now from here we understand, we can understand, and this is what the Maral says. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not bring the Shibud, the enslavement, immediately? Because the Oves, the forefathers, were too great to become Meshubad, to become enslaved. He couldn't enslave a man like Abraham, or like Yitzchok, or Yaakov. The most you could is perhaps make them gating strangers in a land which is not theirs. But not enslavement. They were too great in a level that a land, any land, especially a land like Egypt, a nation like Egypt, should enslave them, should be over them. So therefore, Yaakov protected the generation. But once he died, then there was darkness. That's why in the Sefer Torah, there's no light between the two subjects, the two parashas. Nishtama Einehem, their eyes became dark from the tzoras because the shibu, the enslavement, started. So we go further in the process. However, also was in stages. Because the Chazal say further, at the beginning of Parashas Shemos, it states in Posuk Vov, Vayomash Yosef, V'chol echov v'chol hador ahu. Yosef died, his brothers, the whole generation, and then two psukim later it states, V'yokom melech hodosh al Mitzrayim asher lo yadash Yosef. A new king grows up that didn't remember Yosef, and he said to his nation, let's do something about the Israelites. V'yosim alav sorimishim laman haneisa b'siblosom, and they started to enslave them. So here we see that the enslavement only started after the death of Yosef. The answer is the same reason. Because Yosef was too great to be enslaved. And when Yaakov died, Yosef protected them. Then it says further. It says Yosef died, v'chol echov, and all of his brothers in that generation. So we see further that the enslavement really didn't start until after Yosef died and all of the Shvatim died. All of the 12 sons died. Because all of the 12 sons also were too great to become enslaved by Egypt or by any nation. And they protected them. And that's what's brought in Parshas Va'era. Parshas Va'era in Perek Vav Posuk Tes Zayin states as follows: Be'elish Shemos B'nei Levi B'soldeson. These are the names of the children of Levi: Gershom, Kohath, Merari, Ushnei Chayei Levi. And the number of the years of Levi, Sheva Ushleishim U'Me'ashonah, was 137 years. Now it doesn't count the numbers of the other people, of the original 12 tribes. Reuben, it doesn't say how long he lived. Shimon, it doesn't say how long he lived. Levi, it says how long he lived. So the Chazal asks, Rashi brings, Loma nimdu shneisiv shelevi. Why are they counting the years of Levi? While Reuben they mention here, and Shimon, and his years are not mentioned. Lehidia, Kama yimei shibut, to let us know when the shibut started, when the enslavement started. She calls man sheechod min ashvotim kaim leo shibut, because as long as one of the shvotim, one of the original 12 sons, were living, there was no enslavement, as it states, by yomos Yosef bechol echov, Yosef died and all of his brethren, and then it states v'achakach v'yokem melech chodosh, that a new king rose up and enslaved them. B'Levi, so why dafke Levi did it count? Levi herich yomim al kulam. Levi lasted the longest. He lived the longest. So the Shibu then only started after Levi died. And that's what the Torah wants to tell us, when the Shibu died was. And that was only after Levi died, and he was 127 years old at that time, so you can calculate. 137, and you can calculate. So what does it mean then? Then when Yaakov died, already there was suffering. So the Maral says it means as follows. The Torah started to creep in, because they weren't at the level of Yaakov. So there wasn't the total protection that they had before. And when Yosef died, it started to creep in further. And when the other brothers died, it started to creep in further. But it did not come in as a national policy. Where Paray called together his cabinet and he said, Lomanis, Skakmo, we have to come with a strategy, let's enslave them, let's make a national policy. That came only after all of the Shvatim were dead. So here we see the fulfillment of the second decree, stage by stage, that Ba'avodu Moshe, not only Geriyah Zaracho, that your children will be strangers, but Ba'avodu Moshe, they will be enslaved. But that enslavement never started as long as Yaakov was alive. Sufferings started a bit after the death of Yaakov, picked up further after the death of Yosef, picked up further after the death of the brothers, but came in full force after Cholechov, all of his brothers died. Levi, who was Herech Yomov, he lived longer than all of them. Then the second decree was fulfilled. Now, what about the third decree? The third decree was the Inui song. There will be Inui. There will be sufferings. Besides the Shibu. See, there's enslavement, but you don't have to torture your slave. The Inui already was a torture. The Chazal tell us the Inui started with the birth of Miriam. And this is why she was called Miriam, from the word Mrirush. Mrirush, bitter. In Pesach we have the Moror, because they embittered our life. Not only they enslaved us, they embittered our life. And she was called Miriam because she was born when the embitterness started. So for how long did the embitterness last? 85 years. Because she was 5 years old. The Medrash states that she was 5 years older than Moshe. She was five, and Aaron was three when Moshe was born. And which means that she was 85 at the going out of Egypt. Started at her birth, so it would last 85 years. We can ask a question. Why did the bitterness only start when she was born? We said the reason why the other decrees were delayed, the decree of enslavement was delayed because the Ovis was still alive and they protected the nation. But here the Ovis were dead, forefathers in that generation was dead, so why didn't it start before? And that the Maral says an interesting answer. He says it wasn't delayed because there was someone in the generation to protect the people. Now, he says, Merirus came, the bitterness came, when the tension grew between Egypt and Israel. When there was great tension You find, like physically, if you put great tension on a wire, great stress on a wire, right, you get reactions. The bitterness came when there was great tension and stress between the two nations. And the point of Miriam's birth was a landmark in this whole process. Because this was Ishalta de Gula. This was the beginning of the redemption. Yocheved's birth was the source for the redemption. But the redemption hadn't started with Yocheved. It was the source, the root. But the beginning of the redemption came with the birth of her children, because they were the ones who would redeem Klal Yisrael. And the first one that was born was Miriam. So the the reality of redemption, the birth of redemption, started with the birth of Miriam. Therefore, that was the Iskalta de Gula, beginning of the redemption. So here at one side you had the beginning of the redemption, at the other side you had Egypt trying to enslave them. So this created great Isnagdus, great stress and tension, and it causes one side to even work harder. Therefore, at this point, they added merirus, they added embitterment. So from all of this we can learn that we have Dalet Prokim. We have four categories. Firstly, there was the, when the decree was made, that goes back to the Bris Bein Absorim, that Abraham, Hashem told Abraham what will take place, and at that time the decree was decided. And then we have the execution of the three decrees. The time the decree was made, there were three of them. Then we have the execution of the three decrees: the Gerush, alienship, the Abdus, enslavement, the Inui, embitterment. And each one took place at a different stage. Now the Chazal mention in the Torah is mentioned in the Chazal different units of time. Some places is mentioned 430 years, other places 400 years, other places 210 years, and other places 85 years. The 430 years, that refers to going back, starting with the time the decree was made, the Bris Bein Absorim, till the going out of Egypt. In other words, 30 years before the birth of Yitzchok. The 400 years, that refers to the decree of Gerush, from the birth of Yitzchok until the going out of Egypt. The 210 years, that refers to the time that all of Israel, Yaakov and his whole household, were in Egypt until they had gone out. And the 85 years, that refers to the Mrirus, the Inui, from the birth of Miriam until they went out. So we see that they didn't come to Egypt just like that, but rather it was a process of stage by stage, and we see how the hand of Hashem worked history stage by stage. The Geula, the redemption, also was in this manner. We don't have time to go into it at length, but the Geula also didn't come immediately, the redemption. Besides the fact that there was the birth, say, there was the birth of Miriam and then of Aaron and then of Moshe, But actually, one of the main points where the Geula, the redemption, began was at the Sneh, at the burning bush. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself for the first time to Moshe, and that was the Minui HaShlichus. That's where he appointed Moshe and Aaron to go and speak to Paray and demand, speak to Israel and speak to Paray and demand to let my people go. When Moshe returned from the house of Yisro back to Egypt, and first he went to Klal Yisrael, the Zakenim, to the elders of Israel, and he told them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to redeem you, this was the Besura. This was the Besura Teva, this was the news. So this was another stage. Then he went to Paray. This was another stage. Although at that time it didn't work right away. It's another stage. And then we had the Makkos. And even the Makkos, the plagues, were in stages. We have what the Chazal refer to as the Tzach Adash Ba'achav, where they divide the Makkos into three categories. Because the first category was of one strength, and the second category was of a second strength, and the third category was of a third strength. And then we have the Makkos Becheiros. The Makkos Becheiros, the final plague of the third category, was what broke the back of Paray, and he got up. Each time he was relenting a little more. See, each time he said, all right, I'll let you go. You want to go make sacrifices? I go, but don't take the women, don't take the children, don't take your cattle, and so forth and so on. When it came to the Makkos Becheiros, he got up and he said, go, all of you, like you said, take everything. And that was the Gemar Cheirus. That was the finale, see, of the fulfillment of the Shichru, of becoming free. But they still didn't go out till the next morning. This was at night. They went out only the next morning. And even when they went out the next morning, it was still not final, because Paray and his armies went to get them back. So finally it became final at the Kriyas Yamsuf, at the splitting of the sea. And from there they went on to a greater height, and that was Har Sinai. And this is what the Chazal mean when they say that this is in Parshas Va'era, that there are Dal L'Sheinish Shel Geula. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that I shall redeem you, but he said it in four different expressions. Tzalti Eschem, he said, Veveisi Eschem, Vega'alti Eschem. Four expressions he used. It wasn't duplication. Maral explains how he was referring to four specific stages. Four specific stages of Cheirus, to free them from all of this, to free them from the inui, from the bitterness, from the torture, to free them from the enslavement, to free them from the geirus, and then to take them to himself on Har Sinai. And this is what the Chazal enacted, that they said that we should say the Seder Shel Pesach on four cups of wine, because of the four expressions. I mean, what does that mean? It means we have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu on all of the stages of Geula, of redemption. And therefore, each part of the Haggadah, each part of the Haggadah, we direct towards one stage of Geula, and we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over a glass of wine, and then the second cup, and so forth. Now, one more facet which is very appropriate to look into here, and that is, besides seeing that the whole process of the coming into Egypt and everything that came with it, and the process of going out of Egypt, was very, very carefully executed, step by step, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see something else also strange, and that is Yosef. We mentioned he was part of this. He went down to Egypt. But we see more than Yosef went down to Egypt. We see that Yosef, the Gemara says, actually led the family to Egypt. The Gemara brings that if you have a mother cow, a cow, and you want to take it home, or you want to take it to some place, or let's say you want to take it to the abattoir, and instinctively it doesn't want to go, so what do? Mother says you take its calf and take the calf and lead her in front of the mother, and the mother will follow. This is the same thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. He wanted to bring Yaakov and his family into Egypt so he could fulfill this decree, because he had big plans for Klal Yisrael. After this they would come and become the Am Hashem, the nation of Hashem, and receive the Torah and then go to Eretz Yisrael. He would give them the land as he promised. Yaakov instinctively smelled danger, wasn't interested in going to Egypt. So under no circumstances was Yaakov prepared to go down to Egypt with his family. So what did I call it? He took the calf, he took Yosef down to Egypt. And then Yaakov would follow. Which kachoyo, this is what happened. Yaakov said, Yosef is still alive. Elcho vereno, let me go and see him. Tere mamus before I die. So we see that Yosef led the people. Now why was it that Yosef led the people? Why was he chosen to lead the nation? So the Maral writes, because Yosef, if any, really it should have been Yaakov. If anyone would replace Yaakov, it would be Yosef. As it states in Parshas Vayeshev, Ela told us Yaakov, Yosef. The beginning of Vayeshev, these are the generations of Yaakov, says Yosef. Iker toldeisov, shel Yaakov, Yosef. The main son of Yaakov was Yosef. Yaakov always looked at Yosef as his bechor, his firstborn. Because kolatzma le'ovar etzel Lovan, the whole reason why he went to work for Lovan was for Rochel. Leah he married through a mistake. And the firstborn of Rochel was Yosef. And the Bechor is the leader of the household. And this was Yosef. And this is why he gave him a coat of many colors. He was priming him for leadership. He was the Bechor and he would be the Melech. And not only that, but it states Yosef was Demele Yaakov. Yosef was just like his father. Medrash brings that everything that happened to Yaakov happened to Yosef. And it goes through 15, 16 different things that happened to Yaakov would happen to Yosef. So therefore, if Yaakov wouldn't lead the family, then Yosef would. Now we see something even stranger. We see that not only did Yosef lead the family into Egypt, but he led the family, everything that the family was going to go through, he led them through first. He went through himself. First, he was uprooted from his family, and he fulfilled ger, yezarach. He became an alien in a strange land. Then he was avodu. Then he was enslaved. Potiphar bought him and made a slave out of him. So now he went through the avdus. Then the Inu also, he was afflicted. He was afflicted because the Ashes Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar, came and Maitzi Shemra. She defrauded him. She scandalized his name. He was innocent. And she made a trumped up case that got him thrown into jail. So he fulfilled the Inu. So he led the family
to become Gerim in Egypt, to become slaves in Egypt, and eventually the Inu, to become afflicted. But not only did he lead them into Egypt, he also led them out of Egypt. When we see this, what happened to Yosef? He was picked up from the Beis HaSurim, from the jail. He came to Paray, and Paray made him Mishnah Melech, became the viceroy. He rose to Gedula, to great heights. Then, so he freed himself. He became free from the Inui. There was no longer an affliction. Then, and there was no longer enslavement. Further, there was no longer enslavement. He was still a subject to Paray, but there was no longer enslavement. He did further. When the people came and they said, give us seed, it states, he says, I'll buy you all up. So not only he enslaved all of Egypt, he bought up the whole country as slaves, but he had given it over to Paray. Then it states he moved them, he bought up themselves, he bought up their land. Since they didn't own their land anymore, he moved them every couple of years. He would move them from one city to another to show that they don't own the land. The Chazal asks, what was bothering Yosef? Why did he have to look after the affairs of Paray so well? It says because it bothered him that his brothers were aliens. People used to say to the brothers, you're not citizens here, you're immigrants. Okay. Now they couldn't say that because they themselves were immigrants. Every second year they were an immigrant to a new city. So he was mevatel the gate. He was mevatel. It's still working on it. He was mevatel the gerus. The machine's still working. All right. Then he ruled over Paray. It states that after a while, Paray became afraid of him because he became more powerful than Paray. So no longer was he a subject to Paray, but Paray became a subject to him. So it became Eis Inui. The affliction was gone. The Gerus was gone. The Abdus was gone. And he ruled. And all of that, he led the families through. Now, one final point we see, and that was he went, and the Gemara Psochim states, I think it's in Kuf Yud Zayin, the Gemara says that the famine was not only in Canaan and Mitzrayim. The famine was throughout the whole world. So therefore the whole world came to buy grain from Egypt, because Egypt was the only land that had forewarned the situation because of Yosef. So Yosef was malaket kol kesef sheba'elam. Yosef went and gathered up all of the wealth of the world. All of the wealth of the world he gathered up. What did this represent? This represented the fulfillment of the decree, Va'acha Kein Yetzu Berchush Godol. Afterwards, you will go out from there with great wealth, with enormous wealth. Just as Yosef became so wealthy, you also will become so wealthy. And more so, when Klal Yisrael left, in its Sultan, they emptied out Egypt. They emptied out Egypt. And Egypt was wealthy because of Yosef was gathering up all of the wealth. So this was in order to fulfill what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Actually, he told Maisha at the time of the Yetziyah, at the time of the going out, he said, please tell everyone to go to all the neighbors and take whatever they can put their hands on. Why? Because I don't want the Zokin, the old man, Avraham. See? I don't want him to have a complaint against me. This is what Hashem said, that Avodum v'inu ger v'abdus v'inu kayim bohem, that the decree that they will be strangers and slaves and affliction you fulfilled. But Yetzir b'ruchus gadol, but that they will go out with so much wealth you did not fulfill. So he said, Daber no be'ozne ha'om. Moshe said, Hashem said to Moshe, please make sure everybody goes out with enormous wealth. And it states that there wasn't a man that went out that didn't have 10 donkeys, at least 10 donkeys loaded to the hilt. And incidentally, one of the strengths of Korach when he went out was his enormous wealth. It states that he needed, I forgot the Cheshbon, but the Gemara brings that he needed literally hundreds of donkeys merely to carry the keys to his big treasure boxes. This is the wealth he went out with. And it states that a lot of the wealth, if I'm not mistaken, it states that a lot of the wealth he went out with were the Eitzri Shel Yosef. This wealth, that a lot of the wealth that Yosef had gathered up. So here we see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a decree, it's fulfilled perfectly. The entire decree. And everything with mishpot, with exactness. And this was the Yetzir, the Yerida and the Yetzir, the going down to Egypt and the coming out of Egypt. And this actually gives us also instruction of how to view history. See, this is how the Torah and the Chazals viewed history. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.